Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, everybody. It's Sam. How are y'all?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. I had an incident in the Keene District Court here that I wanted to tell you guys about.
Is this relative to Molly Kelly?
I wanted to get Molly Kelly's opinion on it because it is a statewide issue, I believe.
Okay.
I walked in there with a camera as a videographer. Ian was just filing some paperwork, and I wanted to capture the Keene Police's vendetta against members of the press in the area. And Lance, one of the, I don't know who he was, came up, got in my face, told me to turn the camera off. He was rather rude about it. I stepped back, he advanced forward, and eventually he left and walked down the hall saying, oh, it's another one of those free staters with a camera. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you, but I want to change out one word. What if instead of saying, oh, it's another one of those free staters with a camera, what if he had said, oh, it's another one of those Jews with a camera? Because really, some of you think, oh, there's no difference there, but I really think that there is a connection. The Jews weren't persecuted for what they did. They were persecuted because of what they believed in. They were persecuted because of the stereotypes and the things that people made up about them. They were told, oh, those are people that only care about money. They're out to debauch our young girls.
Sam, I think we get the gist of what you're saying, and let's go and see what Senator Kelly has to say about it, although I suspect it's a question with no answer. But thanks very much for calling. Bye-bye now.
Sam, my response to you is I think that you are addressing the principle of discrimination, and it sounds like that's what you felt that day. And we don't want to discriminate against anybody. We live in America, and everyone has a right to their free speech and to their opinions. And I think that we need to make sure that everyone is treated equally, and we do not discriminate.
And Kendall, just for you as a lawyer, do judges have the right to decide whether they want cameras in their courtrooms
yes,
or not?
Yes, within the, you know, I'm not. I wasn't sure from what he was saying whether in fact the videoing was taking place in the courtroom or out in the hallway. But within the courtroom, the judge has full discretion under the Constitution to determine the control of that courtroom and whether photos are going to be taken in that courtroom or videos are going to be taken in that courtroom. Out in the corridor, it's up to the bailiff to maintain order, to protect the rights of people who did not consent to be videoed, and to determine whether, in fact, the video should be allowed to continue or not.
Okay. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Good. You know, I guess I wanted to mention, just in general, it seems to me that now I'm 45 years old, and I've been through a lot of education. I've gone through, of course, regular public schools, which I thought were terrible, went on and got a bachelor's, master's, doctorate, all that stuff. So I believe in education. But it seems to me that what we've done in this country is completely overcomplicate everything. Everything is so lacking basic common sense that it makes one like myself just want to bang my head against the wall. I guarantee you, and I don't say this boastfully, I'm just an average guy, but I could teach kids a lot better than most teachers, and it's not so much the teacher's fault, but this kind of absurd, you know, sort of over-professionalizing everything. There's no basic sense of right and wrong, proper discipline in the classroom, consequences for actions. You're never going to teach the kids well, no matter how much money you keep throwing at this thing. If you have the school systems, just these babysitting places where kids kind of do whatever the heck they want to do and all this politically correct nonsense. So I get so tired of the taxes going up and up and up and then being told by what I think are education elitists that if you don't want to pay more taxes, it means you don't care about the children. I'm just tired of it. I send my kids to private school and then we homeschool some of them. depending on the child. And we've had phenomenal results with that because we have discipline and we expect things out of them and we don't put up with no nonsense.
Well, let's see what our candidate...
many people like me out there are frustrated with this.
Okay, thank you. Well, let me see what our candidate has to say about that. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye now.
Well, you know, I think it's an interesting point, and I am certainly all for common sense. I guess I would say that it has not been my experience when visiting. I have two kids in the schools. One is 7, one is 10. They're at Simon School in Keene, and it has never been my experience myself when visiting to see any, you know, lack of control or discipline or any of those kinds of issues are really just haven't struck me at all. So maybe I'd have to talk a little bit more to the caller to find out where he's been and what he's seen specifically that he doesn't feel makes sense. And we may well be able to come up with some things we agree on. But generally speaking, that hasn't been my experience.
Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. It's Mark Edge.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I wanted to... Now, you just said that the people chose to keep the tutors on at the school, and that vote was last weekend, right?
Yes.
On Saturday?
Yes.
How many people showed up? That was a on-site vote, was it not?
Maybe it was. You said the people who were in it. I hear Jack in the background.
That's him.
The people who were in attendance chose to,
right.
to keep the tutors. Or to
sorry
keep
about
the money.
Now it was like 200 people, maybe.
Maybe it was not a huge crowd.
Right.
So I don't think people knew. I don't think that they found it like that. It was a vote. It seemed like a vote designed in order to keep actually the people from voting. It was at a place that wasn't the normal polling positions. It was a sort of town meeting style thing.
But they have that all the time. I mean, they do that every year. They've done it for years. It's the way it's done in Keene.
It just, I hadn't heard anything about it until after it was over. Now, I'm not a resident of Keene, but I have to deal with their, I have to pay for kids going to their high school.
Right.
I have a periphery concern with it, but I'm sure I know lots of people who live in Keene, and none of them mentioned, oh yeah, that school board vote's coming up.
it was certainly well noticed in the newspaper.
Very,
and there were articles
well
in the paper, and the issue of the tutors was something that there was a great deal of public discussion about prior to that meeting. So
and
it was no surprise that came up in the vote.
How many people voted?
As many as wanted to show up.
And that's the problem.
200?
If other people chose not to show up, that was their choice, but they certainly had the option of being there.
Sure. And my feeling is...
I agree that people get the government that they deserve.
Yes.
I understand where you're coming from on that, but, you know, it's like there wasn't really much effort put in trying to get people, the actual people's opinion. 200 people probably is something like how many, when you think of how much staff there is at the school, that's probably about that many people, right?
It could be, and I think it's true. I think it was very well publicized. I think the problem is that there is apathy. How many people show up to vote in an election?
It depends on whether they've got national press from a president. I mean, when you get a presidential election, you can usually get about half or more than half.
Well, maybe,
in a local election, if we have 2,000 people out in a city of 23,000 people show up in a local election, that's a lot of
right.
a heavy
huge.
Vote.
And
yep.
I think they get what they, as you said, get what they deserve, because anyone who said, well, I don't want to spend this money because I want to lower my taxes, and they didn't come up to vote, then they might as well pay the additional taxes and stop complaining about it.
I agree that that's sort of how it goes. And, you know, and I mean, it certainly makes sense, but at the same time, it's like, you know, if you don't keep plugged in, and I don't get the newspaper at my house. Newspapers are really a medium for people above the age of 45. I mean, just ask the newspapers. So if you're below 45... who cares what you think? Finding this.
Hopefully,
stuff out,
if you're below 45, you at least listen to the radio or listen to your iPod or listen to TV so that you get the news that way.
Right.
Getting the news even for people under 45 is important.
Should I be required to go out and defend myself every time that somebody comes up for this one of these great plans to
yes, you
fund
should.
This
yes.
That?
Yes, you should.
Why?
Maybe you shouldn't because you don't live in Keene, but
I do. I have to deal with the same stuff in the town I live in. I mean,
right.
Same thing.
But if you're interested in the schools, if you, it's how you want the schools run, and you should show up and vote on it. That's just the way it is.
I mean, that's why we have local control. That's yep. what's the important thing about local control, is that the local people participate. And if they choose not to participate, their lack of participation is just as important as for those who go out and vote.
Let's move on to the second section of this that I wanted to talk about.
Okay, Cynthia. Quickly, because we've got to get Kristen.
Sure. It's the school issues that I wanted to talk about, and she sounds like a very fiscally conservative individual, and I'm liking the sounds of what I'm hearing coming out of the radio.
Uh-huh.
I previously had talked about Westmoreland, and there's a school there that Seventh-day Adventist. That's, you know, they managed to do it for $1,500 per student,
right.
And I believe it's $14,000 per student in the high schools. Is that correct? You said you'd look into that.
Yes, approximately.
Approximately. So how is it that this disparity occurs, that like they can educate at this Seventh-day Adventist school for $1,500 per student, and at the, you know, it costs $14,000? I mean, where's the difference?
The programs offered in the public schools and the programs offered at the high school are far more expensive than the programs offered at the school in Westmoreland.
And let's get a thing from Kristen on that. Thanks for calling, Mark.
Well, I think, too, and I don't know that this is the entire answer, but I think, too, that the public schools take all the kids. I mean, they take all the kids with special needs. They take kids with other kinds of issues, and you know, small private schools don't have to take that kind of variety. And some kids need a lot more services, and they therefore cost more to educate. But I think that as a society, I think that's well worth doing, and I'm fine with private schools, and if you send your child to a private school, that's fine, but the public schools are a very, very important institution in our society, I believe.
And I think certainly that public schools, as you said, offer much more.
Absolutely.
than a small private school.
Both in terms of academics, they offer everything from foreign languages to American studies. Plus, they have all the sports programs. They have football and a whole variety of, they have band. They have a whole variety of additional programs that the small private schools don't offer. So that, it's more a situation of you get what you pay for. And if you want to send your kids to the public school, what they get for attending the public school is far more expensive than what they would get in a small private school. But by the same token, there are advantages to the private schools too. There's a sense of discipline that exists at a private school. There's a sense of personal attention that exists at a private school that doesn't exist in the public schools.
Good morning, you're on TalkTech.
Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Kendall.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so nice to be talking to y'all on such a special day today. I wanted to ask you a question regarding ideas and what kind of ideas people could have.
Okay.
In the free market.
Okay.
And I'd like an honest opinion.
Are these questions we can answer, or are they rhetorical questions?
Oh, no, ma'am. No. I've never learned how, like they said on Star Trek, I never learned how to speak rhetorical.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Here's the thing. If someone has a really, really great idea, and we're talking about in the private sector,
mm-hmm.
they have a fantastic idea, and they can sell it, they can market it like, like your Bill Gates type of people, or
right.
somebody that creates a widget or something like that. If it's a fantastic idea, like say, somebody comes up with a healthcare plan, it's just superb, it's stupendous and stuff. Would you say that it's a good idea for that person to open up their own healthcare company or some type of a competing thing, or maybe to innovate and just do something just spectacular and really, really good? You would say that that's a good thing. Would you both agree on that?
If they can get financial support, yes.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'd say financial support would possibly come from investors or folks that would, buy directly into such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, would you say that perhaps someone that goes into the public sector, say George Bush, because I know you're not a big fan of him. George Bush, all his life, that whenever he tried he failed on a lot of his business ventures. In fact, I think maybe all of them, and that perhaps that he had went into public service because he wasn't able to compete in the free market. do you think that that's a, like a dead-end kind of street for a lot of folks that go into public service, a lot of people that become politicians, that perhaps that they may do that because they can't compete in the free market?
No, and I would have to say, as far as George Bush is concerned, that George Bush owned the Texas Rangers and made hundreds of millions of dollars when he sold the team. He actually was very successful in
and how many
the private
times
sector
the,
before he became president.
Yeah, how many times have Rangers been in the World Series?
But I think, wasn't his first choice to be commissioner of baseball?
I think that was
never run for president, probably.
That's right.
Okay, so yeah, I'm going to hang up. I wanted to be brief. And you were right about last week. I was on the show for almost 10 minutes. I was having such a good time debating that I lost track of time.
Well, there you go.
And there you go. See, Cynthia, I said that you were right and I was wrong. Ain't I a nice dude?
You are.
Even the secretary at my school and stuff, whenever I was a kid, she goes, "Oh, all those people think that Don Stewart is a righteous dude." All right, bye, everybody, and thanks for having me on.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning. It's Ian from FreeKeen.com.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. Kendall, how are you today?
I'm fine this morning. How are you?
Oh, super. So we're talking about the issue of, since you brought it up, marijuana, but I did have something that I would like to comment on beyond that. Just wanted to point out that, Cynthia, I can assure you that people are lighting up around Keene whether or not the law says they can or can't do it.
I have four kids. You think I didn't know that?
Yes, and do you think they would be any better off if they'd spent 5 years in a prison cell or 6 months in a prison cell if they got caught with some marijuana?
No, but they might have been better off if they hadn't touched it to begin with.
Right. But
that's speculative. So the other reason I was calling today is there's been a certain anonymous gentleman who's called the show over the past couple of weeks and has outed my co-host on Free Talk Live, Mark Edge, as a murderer, is what he claimed. And, of course, the reality of the situation is he did not commit murder. He was present when a murder was committed. And I'm pretty sure we all made some mistakes when we were younger. I'm not the same person I was when I was 18, and I doubt that gentleman who calls in was the same man he was at that time either. And I also wanted to point out that the same gentleman I'm referring to, whoever he is, called last week and suggested that the Free State Project and the Liberty Movement in New Hampshire was relatively insignificant, and that he suggested that Mark and I were both running the thing. I'd like to just clarify that he has absolutely no idea what he's talking about. There are over 600 people that have moved to New Hampshire so far as part of the Free State Project, and of course there are also hundreds more New Hampshire natives who also love freedom, if not thousands who also love freedom. So there are a lot of people here, and we're not in charge of anything. Mark and I run a show called Free Talk Live, and so perhaps we're a little more visible than the average individual involved in this movement, but we're not in charge of anybody besides ourselves, and I don't want him to get the wrong impression. This is a movement full of individuals. There is nobody in charge. Each individual decides for themselves what they want to do and what they want to get involved in. There are people doing activism from inside the state house all the way to civil disobedience, and so there's a lot going on, and I don't think he's in full possession of the facts. So thanks, guys, for the time.
All right, thank you, and I'll just touch on that just a wee bit. When the gentleman called last week, I suggested to him that maybe this was not the venue for him to use to talk about Mark's past. We can use Mark's name because they already have Mark's past history, that he has paid his dues, he's paid his penalty, and he's come and started, he's lived a good life for many years. He's said publicly that he was very sorry, he wouldn't do it again. If he could go back and undo it, he would. And I just think it's not the type of thing that we need to keep bringing up on this program, so I'm hoping that
hopefully that'll put it
not,
to rest.
That it'll be put to rest and he will not bring it up again.
Yep.
Good morning, Aaron TalkBack.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm actually in Miami, Florida, but I was listening to another show that originates from the Keene area, and I got to say I'm pretty proud of from what I heard. I heard how New Hampshireites pretty much stood up, and you guys are not passing a bill to essentially force people to wear their seatbelts. And I think that's a great thing because you guys are respecting people's rights to choose.
I think I don't think you have to use seatbelts.
If you're 18, under 18, you have to use a seatbelt, even in New Hampshire. But if you're over 18, we do not mandate the use of seatbelts, but we strongly encourage it.
Yeah, and I wear seatbelts whenever I walk in my car. But I think it's a great thing, the fact that it's not a law that you have to wear seatbelts. You have that choice. And I think you guys should be proud of that. And as a matter of fact, I'm looking to move to New Hampshire because of that, because I think that's, you know, people need to stand up for these things, because you need to have that right to choose as to whether or not you're going to do something. Because, you know, if you're an adult, you have the right to choose, essentially.
Well, that's right. And I think a lot of people in New Hampshire feel that it's not the government's business to decide, to tell us what we have to do. But common sense tells us that that's what we should do.
Right.
I agree with that. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Good morning, you're on Talkback. Hello?
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 Yes.
Hi. I have a question for the lawyer.
Yes?
What was your punishment for violating the drug laws in the 60s?
Didn't get caught.
We were more discreet in the 60s than they are today.
The police chief is going to charge Michael Phelps. I think he already has some of the people. It's funny how they don't charge you or Obama or Bush or Clinton, all these admitted
cooperators. Well, I have to say that there are a lot of people using drugs who are very discreet about it and are cautious about when and where the drugs get used, and they don't get caught, so they don't get punished. But if people get caught, then they have to expect to suffer the consequences.
Gotta run. Thank you very much for calling.